Because when I tried this one, it didn't work. And just, I have learned. So this is the point. Next time, that's what David meant when he called teaching transgressors the ways of God. Next time somebody wants to make a decision, he says, come, I have treaded that path before, and let me tell you, it doesn't work. I'm coming to something. That's why you as a Christian, you have to stumble. I know go stumble. You will stumble. Because it's not everything you can learn just because you came for spiritual, economic empowerment and development strategy seminar. What can we say in a few hours? The man who's even talking, is there everything he knows? There are things the Holy Spirit wants to say. Because of my depth of ignorance, I can't even let him say it. You don't know. There are inspirations that will come. You say, what's that supposed to mean? You don't know anything about it, so you shut it up. Lord said, don't worry, forget I mentioned it. Years later, the thing will come back to you. Please, I'm bringing an issue. That the fact that a believer falls 7 times, all right, in trying to set up this, do that, or even get married, or have children, or raise a ministry, nothing. Doesn't mean anything. It doesn't mean it's a failure. It doesn't. It just means he has to learn how to convert transgressors later. Do you get what I'm trying to explain? No, I said to you before, let's get it. One man was preaching in our church, a professor, the man who does, he runs, the new organization is Institute for National Transformation. The man was saying some very fantastic things yesterday, all right? And he was talking about the fact that the Word of God contains the blueprint for anything that you want to do in life. The Word of God contains it. You study the scriptures, you will discover. He said that, but the problem is that Christians don't want to learn process anymore. They want quick breakthrough. He said something that I laugh so much. He said, pastors, instead of teaching the order of God, the principles, they now rather practice magic. Receive it. When he said it, you know, I laughed. Of course, there's a place for receiving it. Amen. But what he was saying is that believers have rather, look, they rather gather around where they can just receive it. They receive it so much. You know the reason why God won't give it to you, no matter how much you have received it? The fact is that you go and teach your children. The way to prosper is just receive it. And God will say, look, my boy, it doesn't work like this. So the only way he'll persuade you, all right, not to focus on that path, is that you have received and received and received, and nothing has shown. You follow my point? After you wake up to reality. And he explained the principle, which is so true, that you see, there's still an order, all right? There's a law of God. Let me explain that. That's what we're going to discuss, some of those things in our next seeds program. What I call the laws of God. It's not that shall not steal, that shall not kill. That's what I'm talking about. That there are principles by which things are supposed to be done. All right? And your life has to demonstrate it so that you can convert everybody else. I like one thing. I was reading Henry Ford. I'm going to quote him extensively in our next program. He explains something that when you see Ford Motors, the Ford Motor Company, if you see any machine bearing the name Ford, he says it's not about the machine. He said that machine is just a proof that the new theories, my principles of doing business as correct and the other people are wrong. He said the proof is the fact that Ford Motor Company succeeded. That I'm trying to bring out new ideas into the earth. These people are not receiving it because it's just a matter of words. So I'm putting my own words to it now. So God has given me these machines to use to prove to them that I'm correct and they are wrong. Listen, the fact is that the law must go forth from Zion. I hope you are getting my point. Listen, this is what God designed. Look, as a person, you can ask my wife, I've been saying this thing, there's nothing really, 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 that I'm practicing today concerning ministry that are just new discoveries. There can be modifications here and there, but there are things I learned from the beginning, that this is how this is supposed to be done. I was discovering with somebody just before I came here, and some issues came up, and I said, the reason why I'm angry with this particular minister, because something happened, and that's why I was talked to about it. I said, why I'm angry is because he has deliberately refused sound wisdom. That this is not how things are supposed to be done, and we have explained to him, this is not how things are supposed to be done. And he has deliberately held on to that, which is contrary to sound wisdom. I said, therefore, calamity will come just to prove that, oh boy, you have not taken hold of sound wisdom. What am I trying to explain? Listen, your life That's what we're going to discuss actually in detail during our seats too. All right? It's a demonstration of the wisdom of God. He said, and the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Look, that thing is deep. That is, God has, when you talk about word, look, for with God, there are all kinds of things. It can be commandment, can be a principle, can be anything. The word became flesh. That is, the principle of God needs to be manifested for people to see. Somebody's life must show God's principles concerning marriage. Somebody's life must show God's principles concerning business. Somebody's life must show God's principles, listen to me, concerning how to work in certain sectors in the Nigerian government. How to be a politician. I'm still waiting for the day a politician will take office. And after he has taken the oath dictated by the constitution, he will bring out his own oath. Say, I've satisfied the constitution. Now let me take my oath before my pastor, before my friends. And begins to read out. I will never give a contract to a man who would not do execute in the best interest of the state. I will never award a job just because I know the people involved. No one naira will enter into my pocket except I can publicly declare before my pastor, my friends, my elders that this is how it came and it's a righteous man. It will never happen that I will do something behind that nobody can ever know about for the shame therein using my power of office. And he will read it and said, if I break any of these laws, may judgment be upon me and any of my children that don't deny my name after that. Listen to me. You will see transformation. Nobody's willing to do it. For a man, listen, to be able to be willing to enter into political office, senator, vice president, president, his asset when he was going in total, everything put together was maybe 5 million naira. He had one plot of land here, 2 cars here. And when he leaves, he dares anybody to find out anything that he has added to it that was not the direct salary paid to him. Let me tell you something, Christians. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesses. Oh God, I wish you will understand. God is crying every day that I wish somebody will do this for me. They go to church and their pastors are happy with them because 2 weeks after entering office, he's tithing 1 million naira. He didn't ask him, sir, have you become a thief? Listen, every young man should have struggles thinking about that. But I thank God he has helped me. I've gotten to a point. Listen, I can look, I'm not bragging. This is what the Holy Spirit has achieved in my life today. I'm not a politician. I can enter office and when I leave, I will suit like this. Everybody come and see. I'll park into the same house from which I park into the office. What am I looking for? But listen, by the time Nigeria experiences me for 8 years, I like one thing that prof was preaching in church yesterday. You will invite Nigeria as a permanent member of UN Security Council. Listen, God is looking for who to use to do it. We're talking about one governor nearby here, not Enugu State, one of the neighboring states. The person I was talking to, a politician, and said, we're discussing funny things politicians do. That when this man declared his assets 4 years before he became governor, when he was entering into the previous administration in a particular office, I think everything total then was about maybe 5 million or 10 million naira. You know, we are so foolish people. May God have mercy upon us. That the man declared asset again when he was elected governor and he declared 16 billion naira in asset. Let me tell you, Christians, your car is no proof that you are serving God or God is blessing you. Nothing. God, these days I'm realizing it more. That Jesus said it clearly, a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. That this is not necessary. Not necessary. I pray that we'll get to a point we'll understand the true purpose for wealth. Listen to my series, The Ministry of Wealth and the Vow of Poverty. Look, I like big things, all right? If God blesses me, I like to live in a very gigantic house, all right? But that's personal. That's nothing to do with wealth. If I was living, when you have to build your house by yourself, all right? I would have built a big house by myself. I just don't like small things. But there's no reason I'm saying that. But I like Warren Buffett. I like to tell a story about his life. That Warren Buffett, who has been in and out as the richest man in the world, currently I think he's the second richest man in the world, has lived in the same house for 40 years. How many years, let's say? As a young man, he bought a house the way every American buys a house once they can. and he has lived in that house for 40 years on a normal street. No kidnapper will kidnap him because he knows he's not going to pay anybody any dime. And woe betide you when you kidnap him. Barack Obama himself will lead the team that's looking for you. There are certain things you do and you can never do anything again after that. He lives on a normal street. I was discussing with somebody a few days ago about Lester Sumrall. Lester Sumrall, you know, you have to understand the purpose of everything. Try not to judge things from a distance. Is that okay? Try. Just, you see somebody, say, this man of God, he has 2 private jets. It doesn't concern you. Do you understand my point? If you understand the matter of purpose, you know, you know it's very difficult, all right, to judge things from a distance. But this one I want to make, so that you understand that life, all right, it's not these things that matter. Lester Sumrall, I heard the gist. I didn't hear it directly, but you know what they call jets? He never had a small private jet. I didn't hear about that. What he had in his ministry were Hercules. You know what they call Hercules? Transport planes. They are not small jets. I'm not talking about small one that you used to fly 5 people around. Hercules. I'm not sure of the exact number, but at least it was a minimum of 1. But I think people say it was up to 2 or 4. One day, one man of God from Lagos, who God linked him with, he just showed up in the man's... He took a plane, came to Nigeria, went to the man's church. They met in the man's car park. It was a prophet. It's a Sumrall. Came to anoint the man in Nigeria here. Won't mention the name of who. If you want to know, come and ask me privately after. So one day the man went to visit him in the U.S. So he picked the guy up. Old man, he's late now. Died a few years ago. So old man, essentially retired that time. And they were driving to his house. So he told the man, you will stay with me. No problem. Excited to go and stay with the man of God. Except that the man got to the house. You know the kind of thing you expect. And the man stopped by himself, opened the gate by himself, drove into a small house that had only 3 bedrooms. And he looked and said, sir, is this where you live? The man was alarmed. Sir, is this where you live? And the old man looked like, so what is wrong with where I live? Look, I live alone, just my wife and I. My children have all grown and they left the house. What am I doing with more rooms than the one I have here? That's why I first told you that, look, I'm not saying that everybody must live in a small house. I first told you that, look, I like big houses. But I'm trying to bring out an issue. It's not a sign of prosperity. It's not something to go after. If you like a big house, pray about it and please. You know, I started all of this by saying that everybody's life, God is looking for somebody to birth his dreams, his ideas for everybody else to copy. I'm challenging you. One day you become a counselor. Call me. Together we will meet so that we can anoint you before you take office. And listen to this. If you don't take my oath, I won't pray for you. Listen, you are listening to me. One day you will become governor. And apparently it runs in my family. I noticed that the person who anointed the current governor of Ondo State, there I saw in the paper, I shouted. When he got married, I was one of the page boys. You know, those little boys that stand beside the flower girls. It's my cousin. I saw in the paper, see, I want to pour oil on the governor's head. What am I saying? Apparently, I'm soon going to do that to one of you here. Oh, pour oil on somebody's head. But listen, I won't pour my oil except you take my oath. And for information, don't take the oath if you don't want to keep it, though, because you will die suddenly. And when they call, pastor, come, what happened? He fainted. Who fainted? I said, paragraph 5, that was where he cheated. Thou shalt not confess publicly. Give me reporters, let him confess. If he confesses, he will be healed. If he doesn't confess, he will die there. Tell him I said so. You know Naaman, what do you call it? Naaman didn't see Elisha. Elisha just sent the message. That's how I go send message. Maybe that morning as I was eating, the Lord, in my heart, I'll be hearing paragraph 5. I said, what's going on here, paragraph 5? Paragraph 5. I tell my wife, are you reading any book? There wasn't paragraph 5. That book would be only 1 page. What's going on? Then when they phoned me, pastor, I said, it's paragraph 5. Tell him to read paragraph 5. The Lord is good. Listen, my friend, that is evangelism. That is converting the world. Not everybody now goes to church. In which you anoint pastors with 2 wives and who have 6 billion naira in their account. You don't know where they got it from. Not everybody goes to church. That's not what Christianity is. You say Nigerians go to church so much, the country is not changing. Why will it change? Because it's not about going to church. It's not about going to church. Believe me, until believers can take certain dangerous oaths when they're about to enter office, there's no change. And listen to me, are you hearing me? Muslims will still be president. They will be chief this, chief that. Yeah, yes, because God doesn't see the difference. That's a mistake we make. We think that God is partial. God, I'm your child. I'm not the child of the boss servant. God say, oh boy, it's not by the name you bear. It's by the works that you do. It's by the works that you do. That is, when I'm appointing for office, he said, I know Abraham. He said, shall we hide what we're about to do from our friend Abraham, seeing that we know him, that he shall instruct. Now, that is, what we are dealing with is what we know about people. I know you. You shall chop money. So as far as I'm concerned, you and the Muslim, you are the same thing. I have discovered that there's nothing, there's no cult, there's no political party, there's no nation, there's no group of people so powerful that God cannot shatter like a pot. Ethnware pot, not metal pot. You carry pot, kick it, it breaks into pieces. There's no political party, there's no group of people that God cannot shatter like that. There's none. If he hasn't done it, it's because nobody has generated enough power before him to look and say, give me this nation. And God will say, no problem. I will give you this heathen as an inheritance. That's the problem. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? Talking about Christian warfare, let me not forget what I'm saying. So in that Revelation chapter 17, it said, this is how he's going to win the war. We said, look, I said that we are on a winning team, not just a winning team, a team that won, and the game is not over until we are established in victory. And I went ahead to explain that you may have challenges, setbacks here and there. It's because you must be able to teach transgressors the ways of God. That each person's life will be a demonstration of God's wisdom. And that's in every field. Every single field. And where we spend the rest of the time on is that field of government and politics, especially in a nation like ours, Nigeria. And where we read, now where I'm commenting on that Revelation chapter 17, it said, this is how God demonstrates or claims the kingdom that indeed he has won. See, there's a spiritual law we should bear in mind. If something happens in the realm of the spirit, all right, it usually takes time for there to be a demonstration of it physically. So we'll say to John, come, look at things that shall take place after. That is, John, look at them, they are happening. But on the earth, it will be after before you see them. As far as God is concerned, everything has happened. Your victory has happened. The triumph of righteousness on this earth and this nation has happened. Remember frequently quoted portion of the scripture here, Luke chapter 19. When that king went out to go and receive kingdoms, notice something, he did not return until he had received the kingdom. When he showed up again, the prince of the servants, it was so as to allocate who will take care of what. And before then, you know what he did? He gave them money. He said, occupy, do business with this until I come. By the time I come, I am not coming to bring you into further struggles. I will have done all the struggling. I will have done all the conquering. What you will do is that you will step into other men's labors. Do you follow my point? But before then, you will demonstrate to me your abilities so that I will know where to place you. Please, follow what I'm trying to explain. The second warfare of the believer is what I'm explaining. That you see, things happen in the realm of the spirit. The kingdoms have been taken. But for there to be a demonstration on the earth, there is a war that we will see out, in the realm of the physical now, in which there's a clash between the agents of the beast and the agents of God. And what are we doing? That will continue. It says, sit at my right hand until I make all your enemies a footstool for thy feet. That is, this battle will rage until the church of God, let me summarize it like this, has finished demonstrating the wisdom of God in every area and the supremacy thereof. Let me tell you something. God is very patient. He knows what he's doing, and he's doing it very well. You've heard me say this several times. God allows things to bubble and blossom. And then he doesn't judge them. I like the way my pastor said it then. That God doesn't judge anything until it has reached his height. When you are doing evil, you are stealing and kicking and doing all of that, calling the stock market boom, God will not judge it until everybody has put his money inside. And the stock market will come tumbling down. That's God's principle. Communism. That was the example my pastor gave then. He said, that's how God does it. And they bring their head. There's no God. And Christians are wondering, why is God sitting down? Why they are abusing him that he doesn't exist? There's no God. They conquer one big nation, Russia. There's no God. They annex all the nations around them. You know, this Tanzania, Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, you know, Ukraine, you know, Georgia, all kinds of Estonia, all of them, you know. There's even one called Belarus. You know, just gathered everything. Until they were so big, the name changed. Union of Soviet and Socialist Republics. Then they started controlling other nations. Poland, Czechoslovakia. They spread their tentacles all over the world. For your information, they were the reasons why there was war in Angola. It came down to Africa. A lot of the wars in Africa, they were sponsoring it. It was a clash. People say, why did America go to Vietnam? If I ever have the opportunity to preach to Americans, I don't mean preach to Nigerians who live in America. I mean Americans. I will tell them never to open their mouth and make it look like it was a bad spot in their history. It wasn't. For information, it's one of the reasons why God rewarded them with greatness for a very long time. Till now, they're in South Korea. There's a reason for it. Now, I'm bringing all of this. Those people blow down so much. Then God said, fine. Are you big now? Yes. Cut them from below. At least God waited until communism was so big. And he said, everybody watch you. He just took a pin. Let me show you. It's just air. Poo! You know, the boy balloon begin to tumble. He said, now balloon, now air. There's nothing inside. I wanted it to grow this big. So that by the time I'm judging it, all of you will notice. And you'll be able to tell the story for a very long time. That's the way God does things. A lot of the evil and nonsense that people do, don't worry. Ah, God has to demonstrate. I keep on saying, fella was doing, look, police beat fella, he didn't die. They said, okay, let's leave him. Soldier carry fella, ah, my God, if soldier beat you, you're supposed to die. Who killed Jesus Christ? No, be soldier. Soldier, they know how to beat people. They beat fella, bros, not die. You know why? Because Abba, if you die now, that's a small death. He said, remember, you've been telling everybody that it's good to sleep around. So we'll reserve you for proper death. There's a plague coming. It's yet decades away. You shall not die until I make you a manifestation of how to die in a bad manner through that particular plague. So God preserved for life. Then finally, one day, his brother got up and announced that this guy is dead. And he died from complications arising from acquired immune deficiency syndrome. God said, I made my point. After now, if you want to sleep around, don't say I didn't help you. After you listen to fella, you know him. You know his life. I have used his life to show you that this thing does not pay. Listen, on this earth, God's wisdom will be established. Did I hear an amen? God's wisdom, it will be established on this earth. Well, I'm explaining a principle here that it is you and I that God will use to demonstrate, all right, his wisdom. And that's what we are talking about, taking over kingdoms for God. Listen to this. I need to explain this. Maybe we'll develop it again next time if we don't finish it today. I need to explain this. That God's power is working on the side of the believer who's walking with him. Are you getting my point? Look, don't worry about those who are gathering, who are becoming big. They are not able in any way to stop what God wants to do in your life. They can't. It's not within their powers. God has allowed them to grow to a big level so that when he judges them, they say, why? He said, because of that small boy. He said, ah, after now, we understand that bigness, all right? You know, when Goliath fell, God could have made David kill a small man. He said, ah, if you kill a small man, who will notice? So he raised up a big guy, taunted the whole of Israel for days, When Goliath had become very popular, that was when David arrived. On the first day of Goliath's manifestation, David didn't come. The news was spreading. God said, don't kill him. Don't, David, don't go there yet. I want everybody to know about what's been going on. So David, very big, David, small guy, somewhere in the corner. Goliath, a very big guy, right there, taunting all the armies of Israel. And remember, the tallest guy in the land was who? Saul. And God made sure he was present. After a while, even Goliath tired. See, what's going on? Then God now showed David. Why? So that when Goliath falls, everybody that heard the taunt, we heard the sound of the gidim as he's reaching the floor. So much that they composed a song for David. And it became a hit. You know what I mean? Every FM station was playing it. Saul has slayed the thousands. David slayed his 10,000. Hey, come on out. Hey. It was on YouTube, Facebook, everywhere. Why? Because of Goliath. So don't worry about big obstacles in your front. Do you follow my point? What you need is to be the called, the chosen, and the faithful. And I'm persuaded, I'm not joking about this, that one day, every big guy that's standing against your progress, they will come tumbling down. But listen to this, it is so that God might demonstrate his wisdom. Let me tell you why the kind of gospel we preach these days will lead us into serious trouble. Let me tell you what it's going to do. Thank God we are correcting it, amen? And go, listen, as long as we keep doing what we are doing, you know one thing I know for sure? The truth of God is going out, I don't have time to discuss with you why I know. Yesterday, a friend of mine called me. I was about to enter church. He said, one man is on TV right now. I'm watching him. He's preaching just like you. Oh, I said, I know him. I know where the church is. I gave him the man's name and everything. And he said, oh, this man preaches just like you. I've heard it. He said, oh, this man preaches just like you. Anytime I hear it, it makes me glad. The word of God, I'm so glad it's going out. It's going out. I believe it. I know it's going out. Oh, this is what I believe concerning Nigeria. He said, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, were like them that dream. You've seen what happened in Enugu Road. It will happen, listen to me, in Nigerian police. It will happen in Nigeria power sector, Nigeria judicial system. It will happen in Nigeria public projects. It will happen in governance. It will happen in the passing of bills in National Assembly. You will see things that people will come and say, no, this is not Nigeria. I know because, you see, the seed is being sown here and there. The man that came to our church to do that program, I mean, people are doing things everywhere. And hear this, I believe very strongly. From here, we are going to convert the whole of Africa. Amen. People have been saying, hey, next superpower. I say, you can't know the next superpower until it shows up. You won't know who's the next superpower. He said, China. I said, the things that are seen are not made out of things which are visible. So the fact that China is a slave to the world, making everything cheap, doesn't mean anything. They are too dishonest to be the next superpower. God didn't even allow them. Now, what I was saying is this. Thank God for this, what is going on. But were it not for that, the kind of gospel that's popular, you know what will lead to? Frustration. Yes, frustration. Because you see, until God can use your life to demonstrate his wisdom, there's no reason why he should elevate you. No, what I'm saying is the truth. Until he can use your life to demonstrate his wisdom, there's no reason why he should work on your case. A lot of small prosperity people witness about. Should I tell you why God gave it to them? For their children's sake. Because God has given up on some people. He said, find him a wife quick, before he dies. Find him a wife. Then the guy will have 2, 3, 4 children. God will give him small money, will testify. God will look and say, this boy, I gave up on you long ago. You know, when you were in university, I told you, make certain choices, you refuse. When you finish your service, the issue was up. After you worked for 2 years, I told you, stop jumping like this, you refused. Look, by the time you were hitting 35, I was tired. That was why you married at 34. I was tired of you. So you see those are 3 children? They are my next case. I have given you all this money so you can send them to school. They will go to school, you buy them clothes, they will have all the experiences. You'll be shouting prosperity, prosperity, prosperity. You won't know you are poor and wretched. And that's what God said. He said, because you say that I'm rich. He said, look at you. You don't know that you are poor and wretched. But real lifting for the Christian, are you following me? Is so that God can demonstrate his wisdom. That thing I'm saying is so true. If you want to be a governor, you don't need to join a political party yet. It's unnecessary. They can register you one day before nomination closes. You know when Barack Obama started campaign? Nobody took that nigga serious. Nobody. But what they didn't know was that God had prepared the instrument he was going to use. In his typical jovial way, he showed up on, what was this woman's talk show? Oprah Winfrey. That was the beginning. And the guy, because he loves technology, you know, still carries his a BlackBerry. Loves technology. The guy sat down and used the internet to raise more money than any presidential candidate before him. But he made up his mind from the beginning, I'm not taking big money. That was his issue. You know, that's one thing. If you make up your mind to do certain things that are righteous, you'll be amazed at the depth of wisdom ready that God has prepared to help you overcome what people said will be your challenges. When the man couldn't take big money because he said, if who pays the piper dictates the tune. The reason why you can't be balanced in your judgment is because the men who you are trying to judge against have given big money towards your campaign. So he said, no big money here. I'm sure the Holy Spirit now said that in that case, let's use the internet. $1, $10, $15, $20, $100. That's how the money kept on coming. It kept on coming. Money was never his problem in that campaign. It wasn't. But you know the rules were set from the beginning. And this is the interesting part. The more victory he got, the more he got. There are some people who realize that this guy is a serious contender. Why not? After all, we are tired of what's been going on in Washington. We are tired. We are tired. People suddenly realize they were tired. I saw a Republican, a reporter describe his experience, the discussion had with the Republican after the election. That the people voted for McCain, but were praying McCain wouldn't win. That they had to vote, you know, like loyalty, honesty, transparency, if you know what I'm saying. So as they were voting, they say, God, this is my vote. I hope it won't cause trouble. Vote McCain. He said the guy, once he heard Obama, he said, thou art worthy. Why are they doing all of these stories I've been telling? To let you know that when the Lord turns again the captivity of Zion, we are like them that dream. Sometimes, you know, the other day, Barack Obama took his wife out. You know, on a date, you know, they went for dinner. You know, the guy is really odd. they went to a restaurant, got a private room, candlelight, everything. They shut the door, just him and his wife. They just stayed alone. And I said, are you sure they have, that this, I was not imagining in my mind. I said, the woman will look and said, brak, brak. Nana, wow. You're American president. Are you sure we're not going to wake up from this dream? I was just imagining it. What am I saying? That is the kind of testimony God will bring in the lives of many people listening to me in this message. Little by little, you are there doing your thing. Let me speak like this. Drinking the wisdom of God. Let me tell you, you know, I've been saying this thing again and again. When we say blessed, a blessed man, a blessed woman is one who will become manifestedly lucky. You hear what I said? You cannot orchestrate your luck. You can't. Who sent those men into prison that they might be beside Joseph? And then the main man forgot Joseph after Joseph helped him. And then one day, who can do this? I know one guy. That's why, listen. A lot of people, they want to go to the big man and say, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. Clean his shoe. Carry his bag. You understand what I'm saying? Yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. God said, when I want to show up, I don't show up in the big man. I show up in the small boy. Are you getting what I'm saying? The person who helped Joseph in life, the way we call help, when Joseph met him, they were co-prisoners. And for your information, there was a threat of death over the guy's head because his partner was found guilty and was executed while he was acquitted. The relationship that brought Joseph into the place where God's wisdom in him could be demonstrated was cultivated where? In jail. That's why I said it again and again. And look, you know, God has really blessed me in life. Shall I prove to you that God has blessed me? Just watch it. Shake my hand. Oh, really? Rise up, shake my hand. Thank you. There are people that I know. You're not a governor yet. Thank you very much. You're not a president yet. You're not yet a minister. Please shake my hand. But when you become one, will I say I don't know somebody? You know, I've seen people. They say, I've been waiting for 3 days to see this minister. And I feel bad. Since I was a child, I couldn't wait like that for anybody. I used to say, you know, those days on campus, you see, one guy could follow one girl. And the girl could abuse them. My body could pain me. I said, no woman on earth will have that opportunity to abuse me. Say, man, they chase woman. God forbid. I don't go where I'm not celebrated. If my showing up at your doorstep won't excite you, I won't come back. You know why people take a lot of nonsense? They connect with people who are already big. I've connected with you now while you are small. You get my point? Do you have the guts as a minister to tell Pastor Banky to wait outside? You. Do you think you will have the guts? I go swear for you, sharp, sharp. One day I was downstairs. I told Chiki Roke, all of you run, go and bring my bag. I told the president, I said, just watch. I said, you see, I will tell this story. That I see that guy, MD, multi-billion dollar company. I said, one day I told him, run, go and bring my bag, and he ran. You don't believe me? Just watch you. Yes, sir. Roke, where are you? I'm here. Come here now. Ah, okay. Must it be right away? Yes, right away. Okay, sir, I'm coming. I said, don't worry. I just wanted to prove to somebody I could do it. Forget it. Do you get the point I'm making? Forget the big man. You don't need him. You need God. He'll connect you whichever way he desires. Oh, do you get my point? Come on, let's give the Lord thanks. Let's just praise him for the word that he has brought to you tonight. Just give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, I thank you. I worship you for you are so good. Lord, I worship you for you are so good. Lord, I worship you because you are walking in my life. I'm drinking of your wisdom. You will manifest your wisdom in my life in the name of Jesus.